From the pulpit of the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas, this is Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
Hi, I'm Robert Jeffress, and welcome again to Pathway to Victory. Everybody tells little white lies. What's the harm in bending the truth a little if nobody gets hurt, right? Well, the Bible clearly states that God takes our lies seriously, the big ones and the small ones. And today we're going to see why this infraction made his list of the top 10 commandments. My message is titled, Safeguard the Reputation of Others, on today's edition of Pathway to Victory.
I've been changed, healed, freed, delivered.
The Ten Commandments are so much more than a list of rules to memorize. They're an invitation to a fulfilled life. In his brand new book, The Ten, Dr. Robert Jeffress describes how to experience God's best for your life by following the Ten Commandments. This fresh presentation of timeless truth will free you to experience blessings you could never imagine. Request your copy of The Ten by Dr. Robert Jeffress when you give a generous gift to support the ministry of Pathway to Victory.
Politicians lie. Now, they'll not admit to it. At best, they'll phrase it like Winston Churchill did. They are engaged in what he called terminological inexactitude. But any way you measure it, it's a lie. Now, I know that's not news to you. And the point today is not do politicians lie, but do you lie? Now, before you say, oh, Pastor, I'm not guilty of that, I want to take a moment and I want you to voluntarily hook yourself up to a mental lie detector, okay? It's provided for you in the pew rack in front of you. Get your lie detector out, put it around your right arm, if you would, and I want you to answer 8 questions to see how much of a truthful person you really are. Question number 1, do you have a secret life you don't want others to discover? Number 2, would you agree to answer any question your spouse asks you if you were hooked up to a real lie detector? Number 3, do you often say things you don't mean for the sake of politeness? Number four, have you ever lied about your age, education, or income? Number five, would you tell a close friend that he or she had bad breath? Don't look at your neighbor right now. Number six, have you ever said, I love you, without meaning it? Number seven, do you love and respect your in-laws? Number eight, did you lie on this test? How did you do? I imagine all of us realize we may be engaged in terminological inexactitude, or what the Bible calls lying, which is the subject of the ninth commandment we're looking at today in our series on the 10. Exodus 20, verse 16 says, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." This is a very specific kind of lying that we're going to get to in just a moment. But first, let's look at what the Bible says about lying. You know, there's a connection between the 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th commandment. The 6th commandment involves taking something that doesn't belong to you. You shall not take your neighbor's life. The 7th commandment, you shall not take your neighbor's wife or husband. The 8th commandment, you shall not take your neighbor's goods. And this commandment, the 9th commandment, you shall not take your neighbor's good name. All four of these commandments involve taking something that really doesn't belong to you. And there's a relationship between murder, adultery, theft. They all involve taking something that doesn't belong to you. The Bible treats lying very seriously. We don't. We treat it flippantly. It's a part of everyday life. I think about the father that was taking his 6-year-old son to the movie. The theater allowed children under the age of six in free. And so the ticket taker looked at the boy and said, "How old are you?" And obeying his father's instructions, he answered, 5. The ticket taker looked at him and said, "And when do you turn 6? The boy said, "Probably right after the movie is over." Now, we kind of treat that as harmless kind of lying, but the Bible takes it very seriously. If you really want to know what God says about lying, turn to Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. Solomon said, "There are 6 things which the Lord hates, yes, 7 which are an abomination to him." Now, that ought to cause our spiritual ears to perk up. Whenever the Bible said, "Here are 7 things God hates," we better take note of them. What are they? Verse 17, haughty eyes, that is pride, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, a false witness who utters lies, and one who spreads strife among brothers. Will you notice that 2 out of these 7 things involve lying and deception? God hates lying. Why does God hate lying so much? Why is this a commandment of the 10? And why is it that 2 of the 7 on the list in Proverbs deal with lying? There are 2 reasons God hates lying. First of all, because of the origin of lying. Where does lying originate? Hint, not with God. God cannot lie. On the other hand, Satan cannot not lie. He is the originator of lies in the universe. In John 8:44, Jesus describes Satan this way: "Satan does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and he is the father of all lies." It is in Satan's nature to lie. And here's why God hates lying so much. When we as Christians lie, we are behaving more like children of Satan than we are children of God. Secondly, he hates lying because of the outcome, the results of lying. Look at Proverbs 6:19 again, that list of 7 things God hates. Notice what he says in verse 19, "A false witness who utters lies and who spreads strife among brothers." There's a relationship between lying and causing division among brothers, that is, among believers. I had a deacon in the first church I pastored. He never could quite get this verse right. The King James says, those who sow discord among the brethren. He would always talk about sowing discourse among the brethren. But we knew what he was trying to say. God hates division among Christians, and lies further those division among Christians. Well, how do we lie? You know, just as there's more than one way to commit adultery, we saw there's more than one way to kill a person. There's also more than one way to lie. Now, the most obvious way we lie, first of all, is by contradicting the truth, by just saying something that is absolutely false in light of truth. Remember in Genesis 2, God told Adam, from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you may not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Apparently, Adam passed that instruction to Eve, because in Genesis 3, Satan, in the form of that serpent, slithered up into Eve's ear and said, what? You shall not surely die. Genesis 3, 4. That's a lie, contradicting what is absolutely true, contradicting the truth. Secondly, another way we lie is more subtle. It's twisting the truth. It's making sure we're not technically involved in telling a lie, but the truth is we're deceiving people. Calvin Miller, a great writer, tells about when he was in seminary, he had a part-time job at a factory at nights to make ends meet. And one night he realized he couldn't go into work. He really needed to study for an exam, but he knew that would not be an acceptable excuse with his employer. So he asked his wife what they were having for dinner. She said, fish. He went in the bedroom, got flat on his back, and he told his wife, now bring the package of fish to me. So she brought the package of frozen fish to him. And while in the prone position, he threw that package of frozen fish into the air, caught it, and said, now call my employer and tell him I'm flat on my back and I just threw up my dinner. Technically, that was true, but it was a deception. And the same thing is true when we twist the truth to suit our own purpose. A third way we are involved in breaking the ninth commandment is by neglecting the truth. That is, allowing falsehoods to go unchallenged when we know the truth. That's the same as lying, Paul says. In Ephesians 4:25, he says, lay aside falsehood, speak truth to each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. You know, Moses went on to elaborate on that in Leviticus 5:1. He said that if you're in a court of law, and if you are called to testify about something you have seen or know about, it is sinful to refuse to testify, and you will be punished for your sin. I remember years ago talking to a friend. We were talking about a staff member from another church who had recently left, and my friend said, I understand it was because of immorality. Well, I happened to know about the situation. I said, you know, that's not true. There was no immorality involved in it at all. This is why he left. Now, my friend could have remained silent. So, well, okay, no big deal. But instead, he went the extra step. He called the person who gave him that wrong information and said, you know, I've just come upon some facts about that. That staff member was not involved in an immoral relationship. He felt he had a duty, which he did, to correct error by speaking the truth. Fourthly, inflating the truth. That's another way that we lie. Inflating the truth. Trying to make a good story or a situation sound better by embellishing it. I remember hearing about two pastors who went to a pastor's convention. They were standing in the hallway, and one said, how many are you running in your worship service every Sunday? The other pastor said, between 400 and 500. This pastor said, well, that's great. Later that next week, he received a bulletin from that church. He looked down at the attendance, and it said 87. So he called his friend. He said, you told me you were running between 400 and 500, and your attendance report says 87. And the pastor said, well, 87 is between 400 and 500. Now, that's what you call inflating the truth. And before you laugh too much, We've all done that before. Have you ever inflated your resume, perhaps by exaggerating your educational experience or your work experience? Have you ever exaggerated a relationship with somebody by saying, oh, he or she, they're great friends, when in fact you barely even know them? That's what you call inflating the truth. But I want you to notice a special category of lying that is the focus of the ninth commandment. Exodus 20:16, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You are not to lie about another person. Why does he mention this as the sin that makes God's top 10? Two reasons. First of all, bearing false witness about another person perverts justice. It perverts justice. Now, stay with me on this. Remember, Israel was a theocracy. And that means these moral laws were not just moral laws. They were laws for how society was conducted. And two of these Ten Commandments had capital punishment assigned to breaking them. Adultery and murder. If you were guilty of breaking either of those commandments, you would lose your life. And so it was very important that before somebody was executed, that reliable witnesses be consulted. And there were two safeguards to make sure that witnesses told the truth and didn't succumb to any outside pressure to declare an innocent person guilty or a guilty person innocent. What were those safeguards? First of all, there had to be a multiplicity of witnesses. You didn't put anybody to death on the basis of one witness. Deuteronomy 17:6 says, on the evidence of two witnesses or three witnesses, he who is to die shall be put to death. He shall not be put to death on the evidence of one witness. By the way, Paul took that principle and he applied it to the church in 1 Timothy 5:19. He said, do not accept an accusation against an elder, a pastor, except on the basis of two or three eyewitnesses. Now, I know that goes against our culture today. We're supposed to say, oh, one accuser is to always be believed. The accuser is always to be believed. No, the Bible says you don't always automatically believe every accuser. There needs to be evidence. There need to be witnesses. The same thing is true here. There need to be a multiplicity of witnesses. Now, here was the second safeguard in Deuteronomy 17, verse 7. The hand of the witnesses shall be the first against him to put him to death, and afterward the hand of all the people. If somebody was found guilty on the basis of two or three witnesses and was sentenced to be stoned to death, guess who got to throw the first stone? They were ordered to throw the first stone, those two or three witnesses. They were the ones who inflicted the death blow. In other words, you better be careful what you testify to, because you're going to be the one to carry out the execution. And if you're lying in what you said, you're guilty not only of breaking the ninth commandment, you're guilty of breaking the commandment, you shall not murder. You're the one responsible for taking another life. God hates lying about other people because it perverts justice. But secondly, bearing false witness robs reputations. Look at Colossians 3:8. But now also put them all aside: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Circle that word, slander. You know, to understand what he's saying when he's saying lay aside slander, you have to look at slander's first cousin, gossip. Gossip in the Bible is the Greek word sistheres. Sistheres. It's what we call in English an onomatopoeia. It describes by its sound what it is defining. Sistheres, gossip. That's what a gossip does. He's always involved in secret communication. He doesn't want it traced back to him. He's whispering secretly accusations against another person. That's gossip. But the word here, slander, you know what that means? It means to strike out against. It means to openly judge another person. A person who commits slander doesn't even try to hide what he's doing. He is so sure he's right and the other person is wrong, he doesn't mind killing somebody's reputation. James has a word about that in James 4, 11 to 12. Do not speak against one another, slander one another, brethren. For he who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and the judges. Verse 12, for there is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? What he is condemning is making a judgment about another person that you're not qualified to make. It means being so certain you're right and they're wrong that you serve as both judge, jury, and executioner of another person's reputation. It is a serious thing to do. The fact is, words we speak about somebody else, words that we use to destroy somebody's reputation, can never be retrieved. When I think about that truth, I think about a man named Raymond Donovan. You may remember him. In the 1980s, he was the Secretary of Labor under President Ronald Reagan. He was accused of several crimes. He was indicted by a grand jury, but later he was acquitted of any wrongdoing. And I'll never forget watching the press conference he had after the acquittal came. Somebody asked him, "Mr. Donovan, what are you going to do next?" He answered, "Does anybody know what office I go to get my reputation back?" There is no such office. Once you've lost your reputation, it is lost forever. The truth is, the most valuable thing any of us possesses is a good name. Proverbs 22, verse 1 says, "A good name is to be more desired than great wealth. Favor is better than silver and gold." We live and we die with our name. And that's why it is so important that we take extra precautions to guard the reputation of others. How do we do that? By refusing to bear false witness against our neighbors. Just as we go to great lengths to protect our own reputation, we must also safeguard the reputation of others. As we wrap up today's program, I want to share a note from Kathy in Texas. She wrote, "While channel flipping through the TV, I heard you say something that made me stop and listen. It stuck with me so much that the next morning I watched Pathway to Victory again, and I knew beyond all doubt that the Holy Spirit was speaking to me. You showed me that even though I was saved, I was not walking with the one who saved me. But that day, while listening to you, I rededicated my life to Jesus. Immediately, I felt peace pour over me, and a joy that I had not felt since childhood entered me. Your teachings have opened my eyes and heart and given me a hunger to be closer to our Lord." Well, Kathy, we rejoice with you and your newly rededicated life to the Lord. And friends, it's your faithful support of Pathway to Victory that makes moments of life change like this one possible. Now please, stay right there and I'll be back with more Pathway to Victory in just a moment.
The Ten Commandments were not given to restrict our freedom, but to enhance our happiness. They serve as guardrails that keep our lives on track. In his brand new book, The Ten, Dr. Robert Jeffress explains how these timeless truths invite us into the blessing of a love relationship with God and the resulting spillover into our relationship with others.
Our lack of knowledge and application of the Ten Commandments is responsible for the deterioration of our nation, our churches, our homes, and our personal lives. We desperately need to get back to these basics of morality, and that's just what the Ten Commandments provide.
Learn how to live and love in a world that's lost its way when you request The Ten. A copy is yours when you give a generous gift to Pathway to Victory. And when your gift is $100 or more, you'll also receive the companion study guide along with the unabridged teaching series on both CD and DVD.
You will never make it to heaven by keeping the Ten Commandments, but you will have a much better life here on earth if you do. That is the promise that God is making.
Thank you for giving generously to support the ministry of Pathway to Victory. Your gift today will empower us to bring the 10 to our national platforms this fall. Clearly articulating the gospel through our dynamic radio, TV, and online ministry.
Perhaps I'm speaking to someone today who's fallen into the habit of telling lies. Those little fibs may seem innocent or harmless to you, but all lies, big and small, are hated in God's eyes. Today, you can resolve to be truthful in every situation. Well, next time, we will have come to the 10th and final commandment. And together, we're going to look at both the source and the solution for the problem of covetousness. Stay tuned for a preview of what's coming up next in our series, The 10.
Discontent, a desire for something more or different than what we have, isn't always bad. But dissatisfaction can also be the foundation for sin. In fact, it's a foundation of just about every sin we've looked at in this series on the Ten Commandments.
Set your DVR and join us next time for the message, The Tenth Commandment, Control Yourself and Be Content, here on Pathway to Victory.
When was the last time you escaped the pressures of daily life and refreshed your spirit in the beauty of God's creation? Beginning from the Port of Vancouver, we'll cruise the calm waters of the Inside Passage, coasting along the shoreline of beautiful British Columbia en route to Alaska.
Leave the stress behind. Check out the relaxing 7-day itinerary.
Travel in luxury. Refresh your spirit. Enjoy the music of Rebecca St. James and Michael O'Brien and the comedy of Dennis Swanberg as we see God's awesome handiwork on full display.
Reserve your spot on the 7-day luxurious Pathway to Victory cruise to Alaska.
I promise you will come back spiritually, physically, and emotionally refreshed. Experience the grandeur of Alaska.
Book your spot on the Pathway to Victory cruise to Alaska by calling 888-280-6747 or go to ptv.org.